Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey.
So we started a series about 2 weeks ago called Counterfeit Christianity.
Yep.
And we are already enjoying this. I know that you've said multiple times already, too, that you've really liked the first two episodes. I really did.
So most of the time, the series that we teach in here are stuff that I would not necessarily be a preaching series, right? Mm-hmm. Or they are extra stuff that comes out of a preaching series. The entire time we're working on this podcast series, I've been going, this should be a preaching series, right? We should turn this podcast series into a preaching series. But anyway, yes, I have very much enjoyed it so far.
And these, yeah, it's good.
The episodes we're recording today, the one right now and the one that we'll record in a few minutes, it'll come out the following week, they're my favorite of the series so far. So I really like this concept. This counterfeit Christianity concept. I really like it. Mm-hmm. It's one that makes, you know, can make you uncomfortable, because what we're calling out is fake versions or fake, not complete versions of Christianity, but fake portions of Christianity, fake pieces that are really just fake counterfeits to what the real thing is. And they look close enough to fool people, but far away to miss Jesus, right? And that's what ends up happening. So week one, we talk through counterfeit grace. And then, of course, we're juxtaposing those with what real grace looks like, right? What the real thing is. And then last week, we talked about counterfeit worship, which I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that was good.
I actually had a couple of people come up to me that have listened to the back end, right? Like, you know, because it's not out yet. I don't think it's out yet. I think it comes out. Well, if you're listening to this now, it's out. But when we're recording, it's not out. And so I got a couple of people that are listening to it on our cloud. And we're like, I really like this counterfeit worship thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I did too. So that one was pretty good. So today, though, we're talking about what, Steph? What's the one for today?
Okay, so this is the third one.
Yes.
Counterfeit humility.
Counterfeit humility. Episode
247.
Awesome. And this one's good, right? And the reason we need to talk through this is because I think humility may be one of the easiest things to fake spiritually. Right, like we talked about the fact that grace is corrupted in week one, and we can talk about the fact, like last week, that you know you can have worship that's much more about emotion than it is about what real biblical worship is. But I think that it's really, really easy to fake spirituality. I mean, just think about it. Some of the proudest people don't look proud at all, right? But they are. They don't appear proud, but they're proud. Some proud is very loud. Some pride is polished. Some pride is arrogant. But some pride hides behind insecurity. Some pride hides behind self-pity, right? Some pride hides behind false humility.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most dangerous things about pride is that it almost always disguises itself, right? And so you can think that you're not prideful by showing a bunch of fake humility and fake self-pity, right? But that's just pride. You know, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing, right? It's just not loud and brash. Nobody walks around saying, I am prideful. So all pride is sort of disguising itself. Pride is smarter than that. Pride convinces you, well, you're just being honest. You're just protecting yourself. You're just aware of your weaknesses, right? But counterfeit humility is still obsessed with self.
That's
right?
True.
It's this fake level of humility. Like, I'm just going to pretend like what I'm going to put out there is this, you know, oh, I'm no good. Oh, I'm bad. Oh, I struggle with these things. Oh, I can't get it right. But that's really pride. You just don't think it is. It's just disguised because it's still obsessed with self. Pride is being obsessed with self.
Yeah.
So you can have this level of false humility that's just really pride disguised, right? That's the key. Like, real humility. Real humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good line, right? So when we talk about somebody being humble, we don't mean somebody who walks around and puts themselves down, right?
Yeah.
That's fake, right? Because it's still about you. It's still you in the middle of it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to be somebody who's humble, it's not let me think little of myself. That's not the case. The Bible calls you not to think little of yourself, by the way. Right. You know, this idea of personal self-worth and value that the world has kind of come up with, the Bible is consistently telling you that you are a masterpiece, God's creation, right? God's finest work in Christ. You know, you are his treasure, right? Like the Jesus goes through, Hebrews talks about Jesus going through the shame of the cross for the joy set before him, and the joy it's talking about is us. Right. So walking around putting yourself down is not humility, right? That's fake humility. Real humility is just thinking about yourself less, right? Not thinking less of yourself, but about yourself less. Biblical humility is freedom from self-obsession. That's what we're trying to get to, right? That's what real humility is. It's I'm not obsessed with myself. That's what real humility looks like. But we live in a culture that is completely consumed with self. And every time we say something about the culture, every time we live in a culture and we say something bad about it,
culture.
I like to remind myself and congregation and all the people that you can't just say the culture's bad. You and I are a part of the culture. So we've helped we've helped create this
it's
too.
Like the culture, not me.
Right. It's the culture. The culture. Well, no, we're a part of the culture, right? We're living in it.
That's true.
And so we are helping with it. But this is a culture consumed with self, consumed with your image, your truth, your platform, your brand, your audience, right? Like it's consumed with self. And so we live in a world now where people perform authenticity, which is obviously not real. Like you can't perform authenticity, but that's what we try to do. We try to put on and perform the fact that we're authentic. I mean, think about that. We perform vulnerability now.
Yeah.
Like we sit around and go, let me share and perform how vulnerable, how authentic I am, which means that it's not true. Like when we're taking videos of ourselves and posting them online about how humble our home is or about how humble our clothes are, about, you know what I mean? But the whole time it's centered around us. So it's sort of fake humility. It's fake vulnerability. But that's the culture we live in now. We perform these things. We carefully craft transparency. We strategically reveal weaknesses. We package brokenness in ways that still keep us in control of how people perceive us, right? And I'll tell you from a pastor perspective, from a preacher perspective, this is a hard thing to break, right? Because what I want to be as a preacher is I want to be somebody who is vulnerable, who is transparent, who is open, who is authentic. But I have to be careful that I'm not performing that. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm actually being somebody who's authentic. I'm not going, oh, well, this is a good weakness for people to see.
Like you're not just saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a good, let me show this weakness to people. Cause then this one's okay. I'll show them this one. And that'll help me get them to listen to me when I'm talking about this. Right.
Yeah.
That's the same concept. Right. That's a problem because that's still around self.
You have to check yourself with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the time.
Because I agree.
And so this is the tension that's here.
Yeah.
Is that we want to be authentic and transparent, but when we're crafting that too much, it's not real humility. It's actually fake, or it's like our word for the series. It's counterfeit humility. Honesty and vulnerability are not bad things. It's kind of the key to being a Christ follower, actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to, I mean, you can't come to Jesus without humbling yourself and admitting the fact that you need a Savior and a Lord, right? So they're kind of key. But sometimes what we call authenticity is still just self-promotion, wearing different clothes, right? Because pride doesn't care whether people admire your strength or your struggle, right? It doesn't really make any difference. Pride just wants attention. Right. So if what you're doing is you're putting out your struggle so much and getting the attention from that, that's still pridefulness is what I'm trying to say. Right.
Yeah.
Versus just sitting there poking your chest out and talking about how awesome you are. Well, that's prideful, too. But pride don't care whether you get recognized because you're struggling or recognized because you're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Pride just wants attention, period. But the moment humility becomes performance, it actually stops being humility.
Yeah.
Right.
So I agree.
So if you and I are crafting some image, in the workplace, online, at church. Like for me, from the platform, if I'm crafting some image, it's not humility. It's a counterfeit version of humility that we're telling ourselves that's humility, but it's not. It's really just pride wearing counterfeit humility clothes, right?
Yeah.
Because it's all based on performance. And so Jesus addresses this constantly, by the way, because one of the biggest things he has a problem with the Pharisees is he has a problem with the fact that they are prideful and arrogant. But the way they're trying to display their prideful and arrogance is how religious they are, right? It's fake, right? So he talks about it constantly, like Matthew 6, which is known to me and to everybody as the anxiety chapter. Jesus talks about a lot of different stuff in Matthew 6. But he also talks about praying publicly to be seen. He talks about fasting publicly to be noticed. He talks about giving publicly to be applauded. And he comes against all those things. Like he comes against all of them. That's called being extremely spiritual while being internally motivated by attention. That's the issue he has with the Pharisees. They are externally spiritual, right? Mm-hmm. But internally, they're really motivated by how people see me spiritually, right? And that's not real humility. That is counterfeit fake humility. That is nothing more than pride. It's just disguised as spirituality and religious and holiness. But it's not really. That's what he's mad about them all the time. They're outwardly putting out, I'm spiritual, I'm spiritual, I'm spiritual. Right? Look at me. Look at how good I am. Look at how good I do this. But what's driving that is the fact that they are internally wanting so much attention, right? And Jesus says to them in Matthew 6, when he talks about this, he talks about them giving and showing everybody that they gave, announcing it is what they're doing. He talks about them praying out loud so people can hear them and showing everybody physically how they're fasting, right? He talks specifically about that when they're fasting, they're letting everybody know. They're walking around all disheveled and hungry. You know what I mean? They're showing everybody these things. And what Jesus says back to all of that is he's like, don't do that. They already have their reward, right? Their reward has already happened. Which I think that whole situation is terrifying because it means that you can do spiritual things for self-centered reasons, right? You and I as humans are very capable of doing spiritual, godly things for reasons that are just for us, that are self-centered.
Yeah. Right?
Versus, because they're not supposed to be for us.
Right.
They're things that we are doing to honor the Lord, right? To be holy and righteous, that give glory and honor to God through our own sacrificial, you know, spiritual practices.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, maybe less than a decade ago, when I would be on Instagram, there was times where I would see people post pictures of themselves in worship, like they were laying down on their face. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, they are so spiritual. And I would think that, and now that I've grown more, I'm like, what was that for?
Correct.
Even, and I don't mean that to be skeptical of them,
sure.
But now that I'm older, I'm like, it looks really cool and it looks very deep. But was it partly to be seen?
It can't be that deep if you pause to take a picture of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was thinking it made me think. It.
Yeah.
Do you remember what we used to call it the Instagram Christian girl?
Like, oh yes.
It was a lot of jokes about this.
And we all participated in it at some point.
Yep.
I know.
So what
would
happen is there would be a Bible set out with some highlighted notes and
coffee.
A little note card, a little journal, and a cup of coffee.
Been there.
And this perfectly curated picture of that.
Yes.
And it was posted of starting my morning with Jesus, right? You know, getting in the word first thing. I need my Jesus and my Java, right? You
first.
Know what I mean? Like, right, I got this first. And it was this, it was the practice. Like, obviously, they're trying to practice, you know, Lord first in the mornings, right?
Yeah.
Like, let me start my day in the Word. Let me start my day off in prayer. Let me start my day off with the Lord, which is a thing we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But the minute we turn it into, let me curate and show this online, now we're crossing some boundary to where, are we really doing this for those reasons? Or are we doing it to curate some thing where we look more spiritual? And we want people to see it.
Yeah.
Right? Right? We want people to see it. And that's why we're doing it. That's what Jesus is talking about with them. He's like, it's not that the things that they're doing are wrong. It's that they're doing them because they want somebody to see it, which is fake.
Yeah.
It's not real, right?
I'll say this too. There was times growing up where, you know, they were pointing this out, and if I was doing it myself, I started questioning later on. I'm like, I started reading the Bible, and then I immediately want to share it,
right,
to be seen.
Right.
And then I did feel God being like, you know, you don't have to share it immediately.
Correct.
Like, spend the time with me, you know? So, yeah.
I think maybe it would be a little different if what you were trying to do with it, which is not the case, which is why it's a problem. If what you're trying to do with it is you're trying to spur other people on to doing it, mm-hmm. right? But when it makes you stop what you're doing to post it and get distracted by it and curate it just right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if the picture's got to be curated just right, then it can't be about you reading your Bible in the morning. It's much more about what's this image that I'm putting out there.
You know, and you know in your heart if you're doing it for a little bit of attention.
Absolutely.
For what the good thing you're doing.
Right? I have to check this all the time,
me
too.
Me too.
Right? And I don't even take pictures. But mine will be like when I decide to post something like I did last night. So we finished up a Union Basics class. And I really like our discipleship pathway stuff. And I like the graphics from it. And I had a long day, a long weekend, right? I had a wedding rehearsal. I had a wedding on Saturday. I had to preach on Sunday a bunch of times. And I had to leave that class that night, you know. But I was excited when I left.
Mm-hmm.
So when I left, I wanted to post about, this is one of my favorite things to do, is to teach through this. But I have to check myself and make sure I'm not trying to just tell everybody that I worked so hard this weekend.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Get that.
Right?
Yeah. And then the devil will also try to be like, yeah, you can't be excited that you worked hard either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scary thing about this is Jesus calling this out is it tells us that we are very capable of doing spiritual things for selfish, self-absorbed reasons.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a very scary thought, right? It's very scary.
It's scary.
One of the reasons that counterfeit humility spreads so easily is because true humility feels invisible, right? Like, real humility is something that nobody sees.
Yeah, you're right.
So the fake humility part tends to spread like a disease, right? Like, we want to share this because real humility is something that is very invisible. Like, real humility rarely gets celebrated. Rarely. The person who is really humble in your workplace is rarely celebrated for being humble, right?
That's true.
The people who tend to get celebrated tend to be the people who are promoting themselves some, right? Which is not real humility. And real humility rarely gets celebrated because it serves quietly. It obeys quietly. Real humility survives when nobody notices. That's what it's really rooted in. And so it's so invisible that we end up wanting a fake version of it. We want a counterfeit version of it because we want everybody to really see it. But the minute we want really everybody to see that we're humble, then we're not humble. Right? You know what I mean?
So bad.
So real humility is just so behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it rarely ever gets celebrated. Rarely.
And you know when you're really being humble. You really know.
Yeah. It rarely
gets
celebrated.
Just, you're really not going to have your name highlighted for it.
Yeah. And that's the struggle because we don't really want to do – like – The struggle is we don't just want to do meaningful things. We want to be seen doing meaningful things.
Yep.
Right? Like, we just don't want to do the things that are right. We want to also at the same time be seen doing them. And that's where it becomes a problem. It becomes a trouble, right? It's an issue. And there's a lot of counterfeit humility in our Christian world that is much more about, if you start to look at it, like you were just talking about with that example you brought up, you start looking about it's much more about let me be seen than it is about the actual spiritual practice, right? Because if you're really humble, then you are doing it behind the scenes just because it's naturally coming out of you. You're naturally humble, which means you're not going to put it in front of everybody because your humility is not even going to make you think of that, right? You know what I mean? Like, that, I think Jesus, what he's driving at with those folks is when he's talking about these things, I think he's driving at, why wouldn't you be so consumed with praying that you wouldn't need anybody to hear you, right? Why wouldn't you be so consumed with fasting that you didn't need anybody or want anybody to see that going on. Like you're so consumed with it that you don't have time to think about you, right?
Yep.
Like, why wouldn't you be so consumed with I'm giving unto the Lord and I'm thinking about that so much that I don't even have time to even think about if anybody's going to see me doing it, right? So the minute that we start walking on, you know, walking towards like, I need somebody to see me doing it, we're walking in counterfeit humility every single time, you know? And that's the issue as humans. Like, we don't really want to just do meaningful things. We want to do them and be seen for doing them. Like, we want both of those things, right? We want to be recognized for it. Right?
Accept it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and we want to be seen as pious and holy and righteous.
Define right? pious.
Holy and righteous, yeah. Good character.
Because I'm hungry and I thought about pie. My bad, y'all.
Apple pious. The scariest scripture to me, we'll wrap up in a minute, but I jumped too far. Culture rewards self-promotion constantly, right? If you've been in any workplace, did you hear that?
Yeah, I thought it was like me.
No, it was me. Culture rewards self-promotion constantly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any workplace you've ever been, somebody who's constantly self-promoting themselves gets rewarded, right? They get pushed to the top. You know, they're keeping their accolades and what they do in front of people.
Uh-huh.
But meanwhile, the kingdom grows people in very hidden places, right?
That's true.
And those two things don't go together completely. Like, I'm getting ready to preach a series on integrity. And one of the things that I'm learning through it, and all I'm going to do is teach through the exact same 10 verses on Jesus's temptation in the wilderness, because Jesus's temptation in the wilderness before he goes into ministry has nothing to do with the temptations. It has to do with his integrity. Anyway, what you'll see with that is that integrity, that God is always focused privately before he lets you be public.
So true.
Right? Always. And he doesn't want to set us up for failure. So the kingdom works very different than this. The kingdom is forming people in hidden private places where our culture is all about self-promotion.
True.
The scariest scripture to me, whoops, I knocked my microphone. The scariest scripture to me personally, and I think about it all the time, James says this. He refers back to Proverbs chapter 3. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 5. He refers back to Proverbs chapter 3. And then you see this same statement, just worded differently, in like 12 different places in Proverbs. And here's the one. Here's the one they quote. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There's a couple of other ones that say God comes against the proud, but he lifts up the humble. So think about that. Think about that verse. God opposes the proud. It does not say, this is why it's scary, it does not say he ignores the proud. It says he opposes them. Right now, what we think of when we think of that verse is the whole thing we've been talking about all through here. We think, well, God comes against those people who are like chest poked out. Yeah, I'm awesome. I'm great. And God is opposing them. But pride, we just talked about this, that pride tends to come out, though, in this fake humility where we're sitting around going, oh, woe is me, right?
I've been there. What I mean?
That's pride, too. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say he ignores the proud. It says he opposes the proud. That is really scary.
It is scary.
Because that means that God is coming against you, right? Coming against you when you're proud, when you're proudful, right? When you're prideful. There we go. But when we're humble, he's lifting us up. He's giving us grace. He's assisting us. I don't know about you, but I don't need holy, perfect, righteous God who can do anything he wants to opposing me, right?
No, coming against me.
We're going to lose that battle every time. You know what I mean? Like, and that word opposed there is a word having to do with fighting, right? And an enemy. Like, we become God's enemy, we become prideful. And so I don't think we want God opposing us. That's a scary verse. But that pride comes in all kinds of ways, right? It's not just I'm walking around with my chest stuck out thinking I'm great. It's also let me make sure I show everybody how not great I am. And if I'm doing that for the reasons of being seen, now I'm being prideful too, right?
Yeah.
It's a scary scripture. And let me say something uncomfortable. Sometimes insecurity is just pride facing inward, right? Because both pride and insecurity are forms of self-obsession. And so one of them says, I'm amazing. The other one says, I'm terrible. But both of them remain consumed with self, so therefore they are pride.
Mm-hmm.
Humility frees you from constantly orbiting around yourself, right? So when we actually are humble, now all of a sudden we're not, the whole world is not centered around us. One of the clearest signs of counterfeit humility is when somebody constantly advertises their brokenness without pursuing transformation, right? You're talking about being broken all the time, but you aren't actually pursuing God changing your heart, changing your mind, right? And so honesty matters very deeply, but Jesus never called us to worship our wounds.
That's good.
Right? He heals them instead. And so, yes, we should be forthcoming with those things, but when we keep doing that all the time, or we do that so people see it, all that is a fake humility. And so we're not supposed to be worshiping our wounds and our problems that we have and our issues that we have and our, you know, things that we're not that good at, because Jesus wants to heal those things. I think some people have become more committed to appearing authentic than actually becoming holy.
Yeah.
And in the church world, I think, as us as Christians, especially online, this is what we do, right?
That's true.
Online, Christians seem to fall into this trap, and I'm sure I've done it too.
Oh, yeah, we've all done it.
We're real committed to appearing authentic, right? But we're not really committed to actually becoming holy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Fake humility is exhausting because performance is exhausting. And that's all fake humility is. Performing is exhausting. Curating some image of yourself all the time is exhausting.
It is.
Right? It will drive you crazy. You were never meant to build your life around managing a perception, right? We're supposed to walk authentically all the time. And yet we find ourselves walking into work and going, well, let me make sure I don't look like this. Let me make sure I don't act like this. Let me make sure I don't come across like this. We're managing perception, right? We're performing, and it is exhausting, right? We need to be able to walk around and just be ourselves in an actually humble way, right? And care more about what God is doing on the deep parts of us inside than displaying those things on the outside. Some of the holiest people you will ever meet are invisible to the world.
Mm.
Nobody sees them. Nobody's tweeting them. Nobody's quoting them. Nobody's posting them. Nobody's giving them accolades, and those are some of the holiest people you ever meet. Because the kingdom of God has always been built more by hidden faithfulness than public attention. And that is when I've been in that scripture on Jesus' temptation, that's what I've been consistently moved by, is when we look at what real integrity is that it is what is being formed in the hidden places. And that always goes in the kingdom of God. It always goes before any public platforming, right? I met with a young guy today who, 21 years old, who feels, and I don't usually put meetings like this on Mondays because I'm tired and I probably ain't giving the best advice. You know what I mean? You don't want to do a pastoral counseling session with me on a Monday because it's probably going to be like, you know, you'll be like, well, I'm struggling with this. And I'll be like, well, stop. Let's go home. I was talking to him today, and he's sensing this call on his life, and he's felt this call on his life since he was a little kid. And so what he's asking is what do I do, right? Like, how do I begin to walking into this calling that I feel like God's like, he's feel called to preach, right? How do I get there? And all we talked about all day was, what are you doing in the quiet places, right? What's happening behind the scenes? Because that's really what God cares about before he's going to open the door to you doing this publicly, right?
True that.
That's what he cares about. It's what happens in the hidden places. The kingdom is built on hidden place stuff, and that is where real humility is formed. And real Christian biblical humility is the most beautiful thing that you will never see. And that's the point of it, right? You won't see it, right? And so our goal is to walk in that, not in this counterfeit humility, right? And a counterfeit humility is us walking around pretending like we're all holy and righteous, so that's the reason for it, but really we're trying to get attention. Or that's us walking around, you know, acting all good and pious, but we're really doing it to get attention, right? It's the same thing as that arrogant pride that everybody recognizes, right? It's the same stuff. Real humility is God working in the deep parts of your heart, and you will never, ever really fully see it. That's the point, right? And that's why Jesus says they already have their reward. Because what he's looking to do in heaven is he's looking to give rewards, right? Attaboys, rewards for the stuff that nobody sees at all, right?
So true.
The real private development that's happening, right? Cool. It's pretty cool, actually. Anyway, I'm done.
I was just thinking, man, this is a good episode.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. This is something that I don't know. We don't think about this a lot. We don't think about the thing I like about this series that we're talking through is we're talking through ways in which we sort of, pardon my French, bastardized the faith, right? We've taken these things that are the beautiful parts of Christianity, and we have counterfeited them, right? And something like this, something like counterfeit humility, is not something we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
But we need to, because what we're called to do is actually follow the humility of Jesus, right? Him humbling himself. Follow his humility, which led him to not just bringing himself down on the level of humans, but putting himself below the level of humans, right? And the reward that the Father gives for that level of ultimate humility. And you watch Jesus walk into the cross. You watch his engagement as the trial is happening and all those things. He don't even defend himself, right? There's no word spoken. There's nothing, right? He just takes it. And the cool thing is that you see God rewarding him for the secret place things in heaven. The Father then makes, the Godhead makes that Jesus the name above all names, right? That every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, right? He's the King of all kings. He's lifted to the complete highest place because he was really humble behind the scenes in the secret places for us, right? And that's the goal for us as Christians is to, which is why I like us talking about this, because it's not something we talk about very often. Like, I don't think I've ever talked about fake humility in the church, ever, right? We talk about pride a lot. And we talk about humility a lot, but we've never talked about how we have this counterfeit fake version of humility that's not really what God's called us to be, right? God's not calling you to sit down. I'll pick on Steph because she brought it up, but it's me too. God's not calling us to sit down and read our Bible and take pictures of it and post it on Instagram. Right?
Oh, yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. He's not calling us to get in some awesome worship pose and have somebody get a picture of us. So, mm-hmm. so you know, he's calling us to actually just love and worship him
mm-hmm.
because we love and worship him. And we don't need anybody to see it. We don't need any accolades from it, right? That's what real humility looks like, not this counterfeit version of it. If you buy the counterfeit version of it, it's going to exhaust you. You're going to be wore out all the time because all it is performing. And it's centered around you, and you and I are horrible gods, so nothing should be centered around us, you know? Anyway, that's all I got. Next episode is my favorite one, I think, so far, if I can get it out of my face and not burp on the mic like I did a few minutes ago. And it's on counterfeit community. So we're going to talk about that one next.
All righty.
Good?
Yeah.
Awesome.
See y'all next
week.
See
you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.